So then this lunchtime we are continuing our series, Who Do You Think You Are? And asking that question, who do you think you are to Jesus Christ, as we look at some of the I am sayings in John's Gospel. And this lunchtime we come to look at what Jesus said when he said, I am the good shepherd. So there's a reading and an outline on the inside of your service sheets. So I'm going to read for us and then pray and then speak to us from God's word. So let's read then from John chapter 10 and verse 1. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then further on down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why don't I lead us in a prayer as we ask for God's help as we look at this portion of his word. Father in heaven, verse 6 of your word here tells us that these words were hard to understand for their original hearers. And so we especially ask for your help this lunchtime as we try to understand what you have to say to us. We ask for eyes to see, for ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive what you have for us. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently the world watched on, didn't they, as President Barack Obama was inaugurated as the 44th President of the United States. And there's no question that at the moment he's probably regarded as one of the greatest world leaders. He's made history by becoming the first black president, and currently it seems that people around the world are looking to him to inaugurate some kind of new age or new era. So pulling the American economy out of the doldrums and salvaging America's foreign policy reputation around the world. As far as we can tell, he seems to be genuine and honest and a really great man, maybe something of a model or an ideal leader who really cares for his people and his country and would be a good example for others to follow. However, what I would like to argue this lunchtime is that even he pales into insignificance when compared to the leader who we are introduced to in this portion of God's word, who is Jesus Christ. So in the scripture reading that we just read together, Jesus lays out, if you will, his leadership credentials. So there in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I think it's probably true to say that we all long for good leadership, whether that's in our workplace or in our churches or in our country. We long for good leadership, and of course that's one reason why President Barack Obama is so popular. But the stark truth, of course, is that ultimately all human leaders will disappoint us. And so there's really only one leader who can take the weight of leading us faithfully and leading us perfectly and well all the time, and it's him who we are looking at this lunchtime, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. So just to give you some idea of where we are going in this talk, first of all, we're going to look at who the bad shepherds are, and then we'll need to go on and look at the good shepherd himself, and then finally at the end we are going to think more briefly about our response. So first of all then, the first point there on your outlines, the bad shepherds. So in this whole section, Jesus was using a metaphor from first century sheep farming. I guess the closest that some of us have probably come to a shepherd is watching one man and his dog on a TV. And so we forget maybe that sheep farming would have been a common image, something that would have immediately resonated with all of Jesus' hearers in Jesus' day. It's something that everyone would have immediately understood. And so Jesus takes this picture of a good shepherd and applies it to himself. But that immediately prompts a question for us, doesn't it? And that question is, if Jesus is the good shepherd, then who are the bad shepherds? Who is Jesus contrasting himself to here? And in the portion that we read together, Jesus answers this question for us. So if you look at verse 1 there, Jesus refers to those who are thieves and robbers and who do not enter the sheepfold by the door, but sort of climb over the wall and sneak in. And then further on down in verse 12, he refers to someone who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. So he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. And Jesus kind of mixes and matches with his metaphor a little bit. But basically here, he's referring to the same group of individuals, the same group of people who were the Pharisees and Jewish religious leaders. And we can see this from the wider context of John's gospel here. So the context here for chapter 10 is chapter 9, where Jesus has just healed a man who has been born blind. So Jesus performs this wonderful, this great miracle. But the Pharisees are unimpressed with it, and they throw the man out of the temple because of his newfound faith and belief and allegiance to Jesus. And so Jesus says here, I am the good shepherd, in contrast to these religious leaders, these religious leaders of the day who were the bad shepherds. And so Jesus, I believe, is reminding us here that in every generation there are going to be bad shepherds. Those leaders in the church or maybe the culture who are really bad news who we need to do our best to avoid. But what are they like? How would we know a bad shepherd if we saw one? Well, Jesus goes on to say that we can spot them, we can identify them in two ways. So, first of all, he says that they are motivated by self-interest. So in verse 10, Jesus says that they only come to kill or to steal. They're motivated by self-interest. And then verse 12 again, he refers to someone who is a hired hand. So if you will, they are a hired hand, they are a contractor who doesn't own the sheep, and therefore they aren't really interested in the sheep. They don't really care about the sheep. They're only looking forward to getting their salary firmly placed in their account at the end of the month. So one mark of a bad shepherd is that they are motivated by money. Now it's obviously right for leaders in the church to be paid for the work that they do, but this is saying that Christian leaders must never be motivated by the desire to get rich. Ezekiel chapter 34 in the Old Testament gives us a description of the bad shepherds, and there God actually criticizes them for feeding themselves at the expense of the sheep. So Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 3, just to give you an example, says you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. You are negligent shepherds, you are bad shepherds. Now, we all abhor animal cruelty, don't we? So, I mean, imagine how terrible it would be if you were watching TV, maybe on the news, and there was an article on there about an RSPCA officer who went round to a sheep farm. As he went round there, there were sheep in the outhouses and in the fields, maybe, who were injured, they were dying, they were bleeding, sheep who were hungry and lame and were starving to death through lack of food. That would be awful, wouldn't it? It would be even worse, of course, if the shepherd was down in the kind of farmhouse, living it up with his caviar and lamb chops and mint sauce. And we would rightly be angered by that kind of thing if we saw it, wouldn't we? But if we're angry about that kind of thing in animals, how much more angry should we be when it's human leaders who mistreat their people, who exploit their people, and they abuse them for their own ends, to feather their own nests. So bad shepherds are motivated by self-interest and they fleece the flock as a result. And then another characteristic of a bad shepherd is that they are unwilling to suffer. So we can see this in verse 12 and verse 13, where Jesus says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So again, this guy is a hired hand and he's happy to serve, but really only as long as he gets paid. As soon as the wolf comes round the corner and starts growling, maybe he gives it a clean pair of heels and runs off as fast as he possibly can, unwilling to suffer. And then the results of bad shepherds are all too easy to spot as well. Basically, they are the carcasses of dead and dying sheep scattered all over the hillside. So once the hired hand has run away, once he's legged it, the flock is vulnerable to the wolf as the sheep are scattered all over the mountainside and become easy pickings as a result. As a rhyme goes, which I remember from my school days, Mary had a little lamb. It jumped around in hops. It gambled on the road one day and ended up as chops. And so we have the bad shepherds exposed for us by Jesus Christ. Now, I guess for many of us here, there's nothing that makes us more angry than corrupt or incompetent or negligent or abusive leadership. And so we rightly rail against a Mao or a Mugabe for their merciless exploitation of their own people, their plundering of their own country's natural resources, their plundering of the economy maybe, and all the time kind of trying to bolster their own position and look out for number one and feather their own nests. And of course, the sad thing is that you occasionally see similar things in the church as well. So I once heard a story about a mum and dad who were told that if they gave more money to the church, then Jesus would heal their son. And now, of course, thousands of pounds later, their son is still sick, but their minister is extremely rich. That's exactly the kind of thing that Jesus is exposing and condemning and talking about here. It's the kind of thing that puts many people off Christianity, and the kind of thing that makes genuine, real Christians hang their heads in shame. And so we can take great comfort here from what Jesus says about bad shepherds. Jesus had no problem exposing those who abuse their power in the church as hired hands, even robbers or thieves. That's what Jesus describes. And he was sickened by the way that the Pharisees had treated the man who was born blind. And so he promises him something far, far greater and more hopeful, a good shepherd himself. So, do you have a problem with religious leaders who exploit other people? Are you against leaders who abuse their position by using it for their own good? Well, if so, you're in good company, because Jesus does too. Jesus is not about defending institutional religion here, but rather he's about revealing God, and so he exposes the bad shepherds. However, he also gives us an alternative as well. And the alternative that he gives in many ways is truly shocking and truly surprising for us, because he points people to himself and says that he is the good shepherd. And that's the second point there on your sheets. Jesus is the good shepherd. So in verse 11 he says, "I am the good shepherd." Now it's important for us to realize that this is one of the names or one of the titles of God from the Old Testament. So it's a well-known psalm, of course, but Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd." And here, Jesus takes that name of God and applies it to himself. And the significant thing, I think, for us is that this is a term of great intimacy and close personal relationship. So we maybe often think about our relationship with God as being something that's quite distant, or maybe quite remote, or maybe quite out there. But when Jesus speaks of himself as our shepherd, I believe he's really underlining just how close the relationship is between shepherd and sheep, between master and disciples, between Jesus and his followers like us. This is something that's underlining, underscoring the closeness and the intimacy of the relationship that Jesus' followers enjoy with him. Then I think Jesus goes on to unpack this for us in a couple of different ways. And I think the first of them is that we see that Jesus loves the sheep enough to lay down his life for them. So verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd, what does he do? He lays down his life for the sheep. That is why he is the good shepherd. So the picture here is that the sheep are in mortal danger. We can imagine maybe all the sheep are there, all huddled and cuddling together in their sheepfold, when round the corner comes a lion or a wolf or a bear, maybe. It's prowling around, and all the sheep think they're about to die, when out steps the shepherd, and he risks his life in their defence. And this kind of thing obviously must have happened in the ancient world that Jesus and his listeners would have been familiar with. But we need to get this right, because Jesus is not here saying that he kind of gets killed by accident just because he happened to be in the line of fire. Rather, what Jesus is doing here is he is predicting. Jesus is saying that he is going to go to the cross deliberately for the sake of the sheep. And so in verse 11, notice that he says that he lays down his life for the sheep, or in place of the sheep, or on behalf of the sheep. So Jesus is actually helping us here understand what he's going to do on the cross. Jesus is helping us to understand the cross. So, if you will, we are the sheep who are sentenced to death. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Later on, Romans 6, 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And so we are all sentenced to die as a result of sin in the world. But the good shepherd is the one who gives his life for the sheep and dies in our place on our behalf. See, the good shepherd doesn't run when he sees the wolf coming, but rather he stands and he takes one for the team. He dies, lays down his life in place of the sheep. A few weeks before Christmas, I was around at a friend's flat over in Rotherhithe, and as we were talking, I discovered that their housemate there was one who happened to be in the security business. This guy was about 6'5" and huge, and he'd served in Iraq and in Somalia as well. And so I decided to ask him the obvious question, and hoped that it wasn't too cheeky. So I asked him, "What happens if you are guarding something, and then someone comes along who's more heavily armed than you are? What happens then? Say that you are there and you've got a handgun, and this guy comes around the corner with a submachine gun and lots of rounds of ammunition and a grenade launcher. What happens next?" And he hesitated for a while, and in a very kind of professional way said, "Well, you'd make an assessment of the situation." And then he says, "And if you decide that you can't win, then you would run." And then he added, "Basically, there's no point in me getting killed, is there?" And that was his reaction to it. I think that is exactly what Jesus is saying here. You see, that summarizes well the difference between the hired security guard, the hired hand, if you like, who doesn't really care for the sheep because he doesn't own the sheep, therefore he's got no vested interest in them, and the good shepherd, who on the other hand is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. So your boss, your employer, President Barack Obama, Gordon Brown, that business leader who you think is a real success, that teacher who you really admire, that football player or celebrity who you adore, they are not going to lay down their lives for you at the end of the day, are they? Only Jesus is going to do that. You see, if they are your sheep, then you stand and you stay and you lay down your life for them. You take one for the team. You don't run when the wolf comes. And we are Jesus' sheep, therefore he gives his life for us in our place. As Ephesians 5:25 says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And so have you ever let the impact of this sink in? That Jesus did not flee from the wolf when he had the the chance. Jesus didn't run away, but he saw his mission through to the end and laid down his life for wandering and straying and sinful sheep like us. Have you ever grasped what Jesus has done for you? So Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Then we also see that Jesus knows his sheep intimately and personally. Look with me at verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is a truly amazing verse. So it's saying that there's this mutual reciprocity between the sheep and the shepherd that in some ways mirrors the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That's kind of difficult to get your head around, so I'll try to put that another way. This is saying that Jesus knows his followers. The way that Jesus knows his followers is similar to the way that the Father knows the Son within the Trinity, if you will. But what does this actually mean? How does the Father know the Son? Well, the Father knows the Son completely. And so Jesus knows his sheep completely. The Father loves the Son. So Jesus loves his sheep. The Father has chosen the Son, and so Jesus chooses his sheep, and he calls them by name. The Father will spend eternity with the Son, and so Jesus will spend eternity with his sheep, and no one shall pluck them out of his hand. Jesus knows his sheep intimately and personally in the way that the Father knows the Son. And again, we can see this unpacked for us in this passage as well. So we see that the shepherd calls his sheep by name. So verse 3 says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. So it's a known fact that an experienced shepherd can call each of his sheep by name. He knows them all and all of their individual characteristics and personal habits. And the ones who belong to him, the ones that are part of his own flock, recognize when he speaks and respond to his call. There's a story about a court case in Australia where two farmers were arguing over the ownership of a particular sheep. And so the judge in the court, he ordered that the sheep be brought into court, and each farmer was to get an opportunity to speak to it. And so the first farmer, he spoke to the sheep, and the sheep just looked frightened and confused and maybe kept on eating grass or whatever it happened to be doing. But when the second farmer spoke to the sheep, it immediately came running over to him and responded to his call. And it was immediately obvious whose sheep it actually was. And so Jesus is the one who calls his sheep by name. The lesson here for us is that he knows each one of us personally and individually. We were thinking earlier of Barack Obama. But how many of his followers does he actually know by name? The answer is that is really few, right? But Jesus knows all his sheep and calls them by name. I wonder, does the CEO of your company know your name? If you go to a large church, does your minister know your name? It may be, of course, that even if your minister does know your name, he doesn't even know you well enough to know you intimately and personally and what's going on in your life right now. You see, your minister might not know you, your elder might not know you, your political leaders might not know you. Many of your Christian heroes, the people that you maybe read the books by or you listen to sermons on the internet by, they don't know you. However, the fact is that Jesus does know you. If you're one of his sheep, he knows exactly what you are like, and he calls you by name. Then Jesus doesn't just call us, he also leads us. So verse 3 there says that he leads out his sheep. Right at the end, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, or he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. In this country, I guess if you're in Wales or wherever, you often see people herding sheep, maybe, and they're all using those wee quad bikes. You know, they're kind of herding them with 4x4s. But that's not what Jesus has in mind here. That kind of thing would have obviously been unknown in the ancient world because they didn't have quad bikes. But in Jesus' day, the shepherds would have always led their sheep from the front. So the shepherd would have walked out in the front, and all the sheep would have followed on behind. And that's very much the image here. It's actually a wonderful picture, really, of Jesus leading his followers or his disciples. And he decides, the shepherd decides where to go, and all the sheep follow on afterwards. Jesus decides where to go, and we follow, if you will. So sometimes, I guess, the shepherd might lead his sheep to very pleasant, nice green pastures. At other times, he maybe leads them through a dark and difficult and desolate vale. But both times, the sheep are only asked to trust the shepherd and to follow his voice. Jesus is never going to ask a sheep to go where he has not already gone first as the shepherd. So I think there's some wonderful encouragements here for those of us who are maybe suffering at the moment. Are you suffering at the moment? Maybe you are fearful because of the threat of redundancy. Maybe someone is hostile to you in your workplace because of your Christian faith. Maybe there's a particularly difficult situation at home. Maybe there's some illness that you have, some grief. Maybe your life right now feels more like dark veil than nice green grass. Well, there's great comfort here from the fact that in Jesus, we have a leader who has gone before us and who knows what we are going through and has promised to be with us. He is the good shepherd who attends the weak and cares for the lame, and so we can trust him as our leader. Psalm 23 verse 4 gives us this great hope. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's talking about the good shepherd and his shepherdly care and concern for us in death. And so you begin to get some idea of the love that the good shepherd has for the sheep. Do you begin to grasp something of the intimate relationship that Christ has with his followers? He is the good shepherd. So then, how do we apply all this? What should be our response to these great truths? Well, it may be that for some of us here, we need to hear the voice of the shepherd and respond to it. So the sheep here, recognize the voice of the shepherd and then respond. It may be that you are here and you know that Jesus is calling your name. You know that Jesus is calling you to be one of his followers, one of his disciples. He's calling you, and this lunchtime he invites with you and even pleads with you to come to him, to stop straying, come to him as the good shepherd. And then for others of us here, the challenge of this is to follow the shepherd closely and obey his word. Maybe you've been straying a bit recently. Maybe you need to get things in your Christian life back on a track. Maybe you've not been following as closely as you used to, maybe when you first became a Christian. Maybe you've been a faithful sheep for many, many years. I don't know. But the need that all of us have is to be following the good shepherd closer. He is quite simply the greatest leader that any of us could have. To follow him is a wonderful thing, and that's what he calls us all to this lunchtime as his sheep. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess that the metaphor of sheep is an appropriate one for many of us here. We often stray, we are often confused, we often feel weak, and we often feel like we need a shepherd to lead us and care for us. And so we thank you for the truths that we've been looking at, that Jesus is the good shepherd. We give thanks that he took one for the team, and that he did not run when he saw the wolf coming, but laid down his life for us so that we might know you. We ask that we would hear his voice calling us, and that we would be those that would respond and follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.